Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Praise the Lord. Hi, Susanna. Welcome home. You had a great time? We've followed along with you, and it's been awesome. It has been awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for people who love Israel. Thank you, Jesus, for that. It's so good. Well, let's get right in. Let's go to, I'll tell you what. You go over to Luke 1:26, and I'll start with Psalm 127:1. I'm going to quote a couple of scriptures here that you know. First one is Psalm 127:1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And then Jeremiah 29:11, you can quote it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or he has the plan for you, right? I know the plans I have for you. It's kind of what we were on Sunday, that everything that was done around Christmas was a plan. God had a plan. Sister Billy says, oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. And so this is thoughts of shalom. Thoughts of shalom are wholeness, hope, and a final outcome. And so what we see from these scriptures, number one, is that God has to do it. He's the power that is supplied. And then, of course, that you need the God plan, not the good plan. You just need the God plan. So Christmas season is really a good time to look at destiny. It's a good time to look because you see it played out so well with what Jesus is doing. So we always study Jesus's destiny at this time. He was born for certain things, and he accomplished those certain things. We can say that he apprehended what he was apprehended for, absolutely. And that's our goal.
That's right.
Or should be. And maybe not so many people want to do that, but I want to enter in having apprehended what I was put here to do. Amen. Amen. And so Mary had a destiny, and her destiny was to bring forth the Messiah. And we are about to read her story. And we know that we can compare her story. We see how to make our dreams be birthed, how to birth our dreams if we're looking at her story. Now, there's a pattern there. Patterns are important. And so God works with each of us in certain patterns. I'm one of those people that God tells me way ahead of time what we're going to do most of the time. And then there are some things that I'll just blurt out that the staff is very aware of. And yeah, praise the Lord. But if you'll pay attention now, pay attention to how God works with you. What he does is he kind of like throws me a line and I'll bite. And then he reels me in a little bit and shows me something and reels me in a little bit and shows me something. And so, but there's a pattern that he'll use with you. And you know, we're unique individuals, so we don't all have the same pattern. That's okay. That's good. God will bring us along with the pattern that works for you and the path that is yours. So it's our tradition that once every Christmas season, that I preach to you, take one service to tell you how to give birth to your God-given dream. And so here we are again. So I'm going to do it, and you're going to love it. And this is a little bit of an expanded version, and I have a couple of things that I want to tell you that you may not have ever thought about before. Most of this you could just probably preach along with me, but let's see what happens here. So Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, I know not a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Important words right there. Therefore also the holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, and here's our famous line, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And that's the big secret right there. Be it done unto me according to the word. So what did she do right then? She took the plan. She said yes to the plan according to his word. His word is his will. You understand that? So she received the word, which gave her the faith to walk out the plan. And so verse 34, 35 there said, Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I am not married. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come down to you and God's power will come over you. So your child will be called the Holy Son of God. So number one, the first thing that we need to know on how to birth your baby dream is be baptized in the Holy Spirit and constantly yield to him all the time. And so the Holy Spirit will overshadow your spirit and cause you to birth the holy thing. So anybody know the Greek word? I've said it to you for years now. Anybody? Yep. Somebody just said it. Episkiazo. And the Hebrew word is rakaf. Okay. That's what God, the Holy Spirit did when he was hovering over at the very beginning, hovering over the deep. Before he was waiting for God to speak. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to speak.
Yes.
Amen. He's waiting for you to speak. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll catch on to that. And one of the things I would like to say to you is that, you know, all he needed was a word. Amen. And for you to realize that he is one third of the Godhead and he's working in us and for us all the time. He's the guide. He's the teacher. He's the comforter. He's the leader. And we need to be aware of his presence. And a lot of times I think we're not aware of his presence because we just get carnal.
Yeah.
Can I just say that to you?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think Christmas time brings out the carnality in all of us. I hate to say that when it seems like we should be the most spiritual. We're doing all the things and going to all the parties and we're so busy and the relatives and this and that and everything going on. And sometimes you just kind of slip over into just getting into soul things. But we choose not to do that. We choose to be aware of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that some people got baptized in the Holy Spirit way back in 1975 and they thought that was it? But the Bible says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. So you need to taste and see that the Lord is good and allow yourself to be baptized in the Spirit of God, to be aware of his presence. Is that going to do you any good that you got baptized one time 5 years ago, 10 years ago? You got to have that all the time. You got to drink from that well all of the time. If you're going to birth your baby dream, you're going to have to be flowing in the presence of God. Amen. You receive that tonight?
Yes.
Now, here's the unabridged version here. I want to add something here. I want to say this to you. The Spirit of God, and this started coming out with the thermostats the other day. Spirit of God began to make me aware that there's quite a few people that believe that they're in the plan of God. And they are no more in the plan of God than Missouri has oceanfront property. It's just totally in the head. I believe that was the Lord. And it was no more the Lord than anything. There was no unction. There was no prompting. There was just emotional desire. Emotional desire. Can I tell you there's a lot of that? And that's where we need to be praying. Lord, don't let us be deceived. And you don't fellowship with God or spend enough time with him. It's real easy just to do that. It's real easy not to be praying. What, you know, you can't watch the news and then just pray something. You could pray about it, but what's the Holy Ghost saying? You gotta dip into that well. See what I'm saying? You, if you're praying, we don't want to hear your prayer of, Lord, we heard on the news today that na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and then you tell that whole story about what's going on, and then you say, so God, we hope you'll change it. We want to come up through the Spirit of God to deal with things.
So
you want to come up with through the Spirit of God to deal and, you know, be prayed up, be ready to deal with the things that need to concerning the you birthing your dream. Amen? And of course, everything else we're praying for. So, but what I see is that a lot of people choose to do something that sets them on the course, and it could cost them years. It's quiet in the house of God. But I'm telling you, beware. Beware. Get close. Spend this next week getting close and listening. Don't make any decisions out of what could cost you years off the track. Amen? I'm telling you something good, church. I've watched it. I've watched it in this church. I've watched people hide from me while they were making decisions. They knew that I would probably say, I wouldn't go that way if you, you know, I'm not their boss, but there is spiritual counsel, and maybe two or three of us could see that maybe you're in the forest and you can't see for the trees, you know?
Yeah.
But some people will just kind of pull way away so they can do what they want, and then they end up with a whole different life than what God had planned for them. So I'm just encouraging you in this next season, get what God has planned for you. And there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Amen. And God will lead you, and he'll show you. And if someone counsels you wrong, he'll show you that too. Amen. So, number two, let's look at this verse. This is 136. Your relative Elizabeth is going to have a son, even though he's old. No one thought she should ever have a baby, but the thing you need to do to get your dreams to come to pass is hang around some bigger dreamers than you. Hang around someone who's bigger than yourself. Elizabeth knew more about being pregnant than Mary did. And so you find people and you hang around with people. Well, you don't just find them. Allow the Lord to lead you. It's where you need to back up to number one, because you need to allow the Lord to lead you to people who can help launch you, who can inspire you, who can tell you something that will help push you forward in your life. Amen. The real shortcut in life are mentors, are people who can lead you. Fivefold ministers, people that you receive teaching from. There's some teachers that you won't get anything from. You got to find the right people to listen to. You'll just go so dry if you're, well, everybody else likes them. I'm not getting anything. Well, then find the ones. God will lead you to the ones. Amen. All right. So now, the Bible says there in verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months. Then she went back home. The number three is, don't share your dreams with everyone. There's dream thieves out there. There's thieves. And sometimes they're in your family. Sometimes they're your family members. Sometimes they're comfort zones. Amen. I wonder how many people missed the big picture of their lives because they clung to some little tiny part that made them feel secure. Something that they couldn't quite step away from. And so, but you know, grow up to the place where you could step away from anything. I lived this for 40 years. I lived there most all of my life. I'm a little older than that now, but I lived there. But did you know that because it was God's will, y'all did the same thing. So you lived in Lockhart all your life. Because it was God's will, it didn't destroy me to leave that area. And now I would never go back.
Yeah.
My home is with the people. Y'all.
Amen.
You're my home. Amen? And so it doesn't matter where we are. If we're together, I'm happy. Amen. I just love it when we're together. It's an important thing. It's an important thing to love God's people and God's family. But what you don't want to go sharing the dream with everyone, because someone will say, now, baby, you know you can't do that. That's too hard for you. You better not try that. Or then that other thing of, well, you know, I've got my this over here. I got my check. I just can't step away. You know, there's all sorts of things that could stop you from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give anything away to the dream thieves.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes you need to ponder on some things. Mary pondered a lot. She was still pondering at the cross. You know, when she gave her interviews, I don't know if you're aware of this, but she gave her interviews over in Ephesus. She talked to them, and they wrote what she said. Y'all understand, they weren't writing this while Jesus was doing it. They came along and they wrote this. I'm sure there were some things written, but they came along and they put this together. They talked to her.
Yeah.
Imagine she had to tell that part where she came knocking on his door and he didn't go answer. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Okay. That probably was tough. All right, number four. Luke 2:7, it says, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes, laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room in the inn. Have the baby when it's time. That's number four. Have the baby when it's time, not before and not after. You know, early births are problems. Late births are problems. So you can know when. And you don't want to go either way. Time is very important. Very important. Now, here's my second launch out from this. I want to say something to you, and I believe if you'll catch this, this is going to help you in every area, and particularly financially, okay? It's very important for you to discern your harvest, okay? You have to discern your harvest. So if you're going to reap a bumper crop, which is what we're all looking for, we're family here. We all understand that we're to prosper. We're not having to step over any religious things right here. Okay. But if you're going to get a bumper crop, then you're going to have to, you have to plant a seed. You have to choose good ground, and then you have to create a climate for the blessing to work. So how does the blessing work? When no toil's added to it. So when you don't distress the seed in the ground or keep digging it up and looking at it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You take care of it, not out of fleshly toil and worry. You take care of it by watering it with the word. You protect that seed that's in the ground. It's gone to a spiritual place. Amen. Yeah. It may have, wherever it went in the ministry or whatever you sent it out to do, I got to bless someone today at a restaurant, and that seed, I believe, went to their baby's Christmas, right? So the seed went out there, but my part went into the kingdom. And so now I have to take care of that. But listen now, walk with me into this just a little bit, because I was just telling Art that the Lord showed me something right when I was about to get up here just a little while ago. So maybe you never thought about discerning your harvest. But you have to discern when, where, how much, or what size you want your harvest to be. Okay? So, a lot of people harvest a little portion of what they sowed. There's a reason for that, and I want to see if I can get this out to you. Help me, Holy Spirit. We consider the importance of elements, but we need to start with the crucial element of timing. Now, I think I can quote you a scripture right here, and I think you'll know what I'm telling you. We'll work on it here. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So I'm quoting you Mark 4:26-27, right down in there. Okay, so what does that say? It takes time to come up, get out of the ground, and then to grow whatever's going to be on it, right? And so timing's going to be everything. If you're going to reap 100-fold all the time, you'll have to plant in every season.
Right.
You can't say, well, I'm going to plant $500, and then next year I'll plant $500. We're good. Because that 500 will bring forth fruit right here in this next time frame, but then you're going to go without for three quarters of the year. Am I right? That's true. So you continually plant. But here's what you have to do. Don't pull up the blade.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Wait for full corn in the ear. Wait for, so that's timing. So that means you certainly are going to want to sow enough seed to keep it going all the time. And then now what would it be? That would be 30, 60, 100 fold. So you're going to get your best blessing if you're patient. And you wait for God to do what he wants to do with it. Because when he asked for that seed, he was looking at your future. He knew that someone or some ministry needed that seed right then. So he asked you to sow it. It went into, the money went into them. The spirit, that was the whole of it. The seed inside of it went into the other realm, and the other realm began to grow it. And then if you don't discern it correctly, you're going to be saying, I need that harvest. And you're doing like this and swinging at something that's only that big. But if you tend your garden and you discern, this takes some maturity. God is not a one-armed bandit, church. This is about living out a spiritual life. And although he loves to answer upon approach, there's a way that he does things. And there are due seasons according to the scripture. Now, do you get a miracle? I've seen a lot of people give one day and get back the next. I'm not saying that's off limits. But also we have to understand that we don't live by miracles. We live by faith. Miracles should be coming through us to help other people, but we should live by faith. We know how God heals. We know he does heal. We know he provides. He protects. He does everything we need him to do, and we can flow in it, and we can constantly be reaping. You can reap all the time. I'm still reaping a seed off of 2006 or seven, I guess. Still reaping. I mean, that thing just grew in. It was just selling a vehicle and giving the money to that Citation 10 jet. And I've never had a car payment since then.
That's right.
And it's like six Lexuses later.
Yeah.
And three trucks. Mm-hmm. Never had a car payment. Now, that's God. And that's more than a hundredfold return. Do we pay for the vehicles? Yeah, but we've been able to pay for cash for them every time. Why? Because God has always brought in funds to take care of it. Well, why do you care, Pastor? Why can't you get a loan? Don't want to. Want to be debt free so I can do anything he calls me to do. Church, you can argue all you want to. I don't think getting a loan is a sin. I do not think that. But I do agree with the scripture that says, oh no man anything. That should be a goal that we're reaching for. You're not going to go to hell for getting a loan. You may pay like hell. And you may pay a lot of interest, but the thing is just keep moving until you get out. And then you're free to work, and you can do it. We started with paying an extra $60 on a credit card that we had to live on because we didn't get paid enough at our jobs. And boom, when we started that, God changed our jobs and sent us up to each $100,000 a year. And back then that was a lot of money. It's not very much nowadays, but it was back then. And God can do that for every one of us. He'll come through for us. But discern your harvest. Discern the timing. Now you're like, well, how do I know? Well, I'm glad you ask. Revert back to number one. When you start discerning and sensing something. So you have a journal. You're writing down your seed. Huh. Okay. Some people are. So you go and you look at them. And you're like, you know, I sowed a big seed to Israel. I sowed a big seed to Aliyah. I sowed that. Yep. Now, when is that going to come due? I'll tell you one way to recognize it. Joy will begin to rise up. You'll begin to get this sense about you. That harvest, it's getting close. That harvest is getting big. But see, you're not going to be able to do that if you're just carnal. If you can't sense and discern what's coming forth, you're not going to be able to do it. You're just going to live off your paycheck. But God didn't create you to live off your paycheck. He created you to live off your giving.
Right.
And people don't want to go there, but I've done it for years. If I depended on my paycheck, wouldn't be very much fun. But I depend on what God can bring in. And year after year, I've been called to preach here. Go do this. People will just give me money. Whatever. Whatever way there is. Or something happened that brought in something. Or buy a piece of land and sell it 5 years later and make money. Just whatever it is, God's always had a way to bring it in. He'll always give you witty inventions and ideas and things like that. You have to discern your harvest. Now, so you'll notice something changing. Now, I said that about finances. Listen to me. You've sown prayers for your family. Discern the harvest. You've sown prayers for friends. You've sown a lot for this city. Discern the harvest. Discern the stage of the awakening we're in. We're not near the full corn in the ear. We're still in the blade. I could tell you that. But it's coming. It's coming, and it's growing, and it's growing on the inside of us right now. We care. We want it. We'll have all the goodness that He has for us. We'll see the miracles. We'll see the change. We'll be blessed, and we don't have to be all worn out.
That's right.
All right. Number five. This is the final one. See, I'm going to break that 40-minute thing right now. All right. When Jesus, this is verse Matthew 2:1. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. The day when you say yes to the dream, provision will rise up and start moving toward you. Don't stop it. It's headed your way. But they couldn't discern. They couldn't get it early. It got there right on time. Your supply will get to you right on time if you'll use your faith. Church, have the faith of God. That's bigger faith. Jesus said no more for the fig tree, and they went, wow. And then he says, hey, have the faith of God. Then you can move a mountain. You can move a mountain. You can move whatever is to you and whatever is away from you with your faith. Amen? But you have to say yes to the dream. Now, I realize there may be people right here right now or listening that say, I don't even know what the dream is. Well, roll back to step one and wait for the message. And watch God say, this is what I want you to do. And when He tells you what to do, then head out toward the dream. Amen?
Amen.
You received this tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for the baby dreams that we all have. We thank You that You will do everything You can to help us. And Lord, we choose to say yes. We choose to follow the Holy Spirit, to get the word, to hang out with bigger dreamers, to protect our dream, to carry it out when it's time, and to know that You have provision for the visions. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's receive our offering. That's just fun right there, isn't it?
Amen.
I love that stuff. So did you get something new out of the discerning?
Yeah.
You
yes.
get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You have to, is this a Holy Spirit thing? Amen. Ready? Come on, brothers. Father, we thank You for the tithers and the givers tonight. We thank You for blessing the tither. We thank You that the devourer is stopped in Jesus' name. And we thank You for the windows of heaven being open. And we thank You for all provision poured into us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank You for it, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We're going to discern. We have enough seed in the ground that there should be some that right now is 100-fold.
Amen.
Discern it and call it in. And then there's others that are still a little bitty. And they'll come up. Just, Jesus was able to hear what Father said and He would say it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Amen.
Just hear it
and
say it. It's that easy. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Bobby waves at me. I love it. Bye, Bobby. See ya. Praise the Lord. Come on up here, Susanna, and tell us three things that were magnificent. Glory to God. You got something for her, Jordan, that she can? Jesse does.
Well, and I got a praise report. I got healed during the service just now.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, I'm all good.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord.
Well, goodness. I mean, I could stand here for 2 hours and tell y'all just all the good things. But three things? Three things.
She's so obedient.
Every time we approached someone, an Israeli, they said, "What are you doing here? What are y'all doing here?" We said, "We're here to stand with Israel. We're here to stand with you guys." And they just fell to pieces. They immediately just started crying or hugged us or something. And it just reminded me of bringing his face, bringing the blessing.
Yes.
And we did. We brought his face. It was so wonderful. The other thing is we did go to the war zone. We went to the border of Gaza, and we helped the farmers harvest their crops, and we visited Be'eri, which is one of the kibbutzes that where a massacre occurred. And we walked through those buildings, and we saw with our own eyes what happened there. And it was, you know, it was worse than the Holocaust, what they did to those people.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kindergarten that got shot up, and at least 8 kindergartners died. Anyway, I don't want to give you the gruesome details, but it was heartbreaking. And anybody that denies that, I mean, 75% of the Palestinians support it or deny that that happened. And so, you know, what you're hearing on the news about these poor Palestinians, you know, they're in support of Hamas for the most part.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so that wasn't a good thing, but they wanted us to come over and see what happened so that we could share
with
people over here what happened. And we also went to Ashkelon, which is an ancient city. David was there, and they have been under a barrage of missile attacks. They're the most attacked city over there. And we saw this condo where the Iron Dome did not take out they missed something, and a rocket shot right through a condo unit.
Wow.
And then we had some rockets, you know, that flew over while we were there. We had to get in the bomb shelter, but the Iron Dome took them out. And on our way back to the bus, we saw an Iron Dome interception.
Oh,
near
wow.
Tel Aviv. Yeah, it was dark. We were looking from the bus, and it was like, I mean, we were like, whoa, did y'all see that? You know, I mean, we weren't afraid. We had just supernatural peace because we were covered by the blood and your prayers and Psalm 91.
Yeah.
And we just weren't afraid. It was nothing like I'd ever experienced. And then, of course, traveling through the Holy Land, we went to Nazareth. We couldn't go to Bethlehem because tensions are just too high. You know, that's occupied by Palestinians, but we did go to the Shepherd's Field.
Oh.
And we saw, you know, the caves. So we saw where, a place like Jesus was born. It was a cave, you know, and, anyway, that was really cool.
Did you go out on a boat?
Oh, we went, we toured the Sea of Galilee.
Awesome.
That was really cool. We went to Capernaum, a lot of places where Jesus healed people. You could just feel the healing presence there. And then, of course, Migdal Arbel. I mean, that is amazing. That project, it's Billy Brim Ministries Prayer and Conference Center. She's owned the land for 24 years, and it's finally under construction. And during a war, they are 2 weeks ahead of schedule. And it's, I mean, I think they said the project was going to be done by December of 24. I don't see how that is possible. I mean, it takes us a year and a half to build a $3 million house. I don't know. Maybe the structure will be done by then and the finish out. But I mean, I think we all need to go for the opening.
Yes. I'm going. That's how I'll
praise
be there.
The Lord.
Praise
anyway,
the Lord.
Anyway, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your all the seed you sowed. I reaped that Aliyah harvest when it was the full corn in the ear. In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know that was more than
you think. No, that was wonderful.
Thank you.
The safest place to be is in the will of God. There are people driving out on these roads right now that things happen because they're not in the will of God. They just went into a war zone and they were totally protected. Praise the Lord. Are you all ready to stand up? God is good. Okay, so we're going to be here at 10 o'clock. Don't be late because if you blink your eye, you might miss what we're going to do, right? So what are we singing? What are we going to sing?
Joyful, Joyful, and Silent Night.
Okay, good. We're going to sing a couple of songs. We're going to do communion together. And have a very, very short word. And I can do it. I did it tonight. And Ron is going to travel to his Pauline's son's house and his kids up in. And he said he's going to be timing me on the road. So, So, anybody traveling? Everybody staying home? You guys are traveling. You guys are traveling. Randy, where are you going? Okay, go see kiddos. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray over everyone traveling. We thank you for your traveling mercies. We thank you for blessing them. Thank you for great adventure, Lord. And they're safe because they're in the will of God. And we thank you, Lord, that they are safe under the wings of the Most High God. Amen. That's where we all are. Amen. Father, we thank you for that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the
city.
We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims.